the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Mother of us all. Amen. Have you ever been in the midst of a conversation when suddenly somebody said something that was really piercing or really mean, or it felt really aggressive and it made you kind of go, made your eyes get a little wider, made you stop breathing for a second? Maybe you knew that the person you were talking to felt that way. Maybe you knew that they had that opinion, but it didn't feel so real or mean or scary until they said it out loud, until you heard it on their lips. I can't tell you how many times throughout the course of my life I've been having a conversation with someone when suddenly they said something mean about another person or about me or about a group of people or about any number of opinions that they had, and it made me stop and go. It almost knocked me off my feet. That feeling, that sharp inward breath, those wide eyes, that's how I felt when I read this morning's gospel. That's how I felt when we just said all those words together as a congregation. Hearing those terrible words spoken by the crowds of people that are begging Pilate for Jesus' death was really hard this week. And I shouldn't be surprised because I've heard this story so many times. I know how this story ends. And when we say those words together, we shouldn't be surprised either, because every time we gather for worship, we gather in front of a massive sign that when God came to this world in flesh to live and dwell among us, we responded by fashioning a cross for our Lord and Savior to die on. It shouldn't surprise me that these words happen. It shouldn't surprise us, but still, those words that come at the end of today's story, that last sentence we said together, we have no king but the emperor. It makes me cringe. I feel those words in my skin and in my body. It feels icky to hear those words, because here he is, Jesus, the one who has come into the world that God so loves, the one who cares so much about meeting us in our shame, that he changes water into wine and then he dances with us. Jesus, the one who takes off his outer robe and gets down on the floor so he can wash our feet and teach us how to love one another. And in this reading, Jesus, the one who puts on a purple robe, who puts on a crown of thorns and stands confidently while those he loves so, so dearly mock him and beg for his death. It's so painful to hear the people in this story blatantly reject Jesus. It's hard to hear how desperately they cling to violence and terror and the regime of the empire, an empire that loves to kill and shame and destroy. And these people would rather be a part of that than the love and vulnerability and grace of Jesus Christ. When I hear that sentence, we have no king but the emperor, it makes me feel icky. It makes me feel sad for the people in this story who don't realize they're standing in the presence of God. Or if they do realize it, they're so terrified that they'd rather kill God than deal with what it might mean to receive abundant love. Those words, we have no king but the emperor, they feel like a massive lie. They feel so untrue because, of course, you have another king. God is the ultimate one. God is so much bigger than Caesar, and Caesar's nothing compared to God. And yet those words that we all just said reveal a deep and painful truth. That these people have aligned themselves with violence and death and nationalism and power and not love and justice. They've aligned themselves with Caesar. It's Caesar that they worship. It's Caesar that they call the Son of God. And that means there's no room for God in that equation. It's easy to read that story today and think, wow, how could they? To read it and be reminded of all those times I just talked about, when we've been astonished by the harsh words of others, by the mean thoughts of others, to think about all the ways that the brokenness of this world has shown up in people around us and shocked us. But friends, I think these words, "We have no king but the emperor," make me feel icky and make me feel overwhelmed and make me go, because I know that I'm a part of this story. Because I know that as much as I want this to be a story about other people's allegiances and other people's loyalties, this is a story about our allegiances and about our loyalties. This is about who we really call the Son of God in our lives. This reading is one about being on trial. Jesus is standing before Pilate, and he's waiting to hear the verdict on what his death will be. He already knows. The king of everything, the king who knows all of our hearts and all of our mistakes and all of our wrongdoings and our hopes and our fears, stands in front of this Roman governor, knowing that this man's power is so small and limited, that the power to kill God is a joke, because nothing, not even death, will ever stop God. So Jesus stands there, and he gets spit on, and he gets taunted. He gets dressed in a purple robe and a crown of thorns and gets laughed at. And the people cry out, "Hail Caesar, you are no king." Today's story is about being on trial. But the ones who are really on trial in this story is every other person. It's you and it's me. It's the whole world. Because this is a story about all the ways we condemn ourselves by refusing to accept or acknowledge the power of Jesus, choosing instead the powers of empire and death and violence and ignorance. Jesus says when he washes the disciples' feet that his servants will be known by their love and that the servants of Caesar will be known by their violence. Whose servants are we, friends? When all of us leave today, whose servants will we be? This week, when we see someone without adequate shelter, whose servant will we be? Will we comfort ourselves with reassurances about what those people have done to deserve that status, reminding ourselves of all the right choices we've made? Will we ignore the violence of our own thoughts and self-justifications? This week, when we hear about families that are in the midst of turmoil and conflict that are fueled by shame, whose servants will we be? Will we blame them and ignore all of the ways that we share in our broken humanity? When we hear, the news about violence this week, will we separate ourselves from it by condemning other groups of people? Or will we remember that we are part of this world, and will we remember that we share an equal part of its brokenness? Whose servants are we? This week when we leave, will we worship our denomination or our preferred political party or our GPA or our career or our country more than we worship God? Here's the thing. The answer to all of those questions is yes. Yes, we will all think evil and violent thoughts about someone or something this week. Yes, every single one of us in this room, including me, will worship something more than we worship God this week. Yes, all of us will, in our actions and in our words, at least once proclaim, "Hail Caesar," before we proclaim "Praise Jesus" this week. And that feels really icky to realize. To realize that when given the chance as broken people, we always choose those things that extinguish life over the one who has come to love the whole world. This reading makes us go, because it reveals a hard truth about all of us, that we keep picking Caesar. We keep picking Barabbas, picking the cross, rather than picking abundant life and vulnerability and love and grace. This is a story about being on trial, and we always come up short. And it's extremely important that we spend the time remembering that and thinking about it. But friends, this is also a story about grace. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes down to this earth to teach us about love. And it was so high risk and it was so scary to us that we fashion a crown of thorns and a cross for him. God builds community and we build this. And yet, in the face of mockery and violence and hatred, Jesus still picks it up. He still picks up that cross, he still walks to Golgotha, and he lays down his life for us. And at noon on the day before Passover, at the exact same time when the lambs are all being sent to the slaughter for Passover, Jesus begins his walk to the cross as the Lamb of God. Jesus joins us in our suffering, letting us know that we don't go through anything in this life alone, because God is so compassionate that God knows exactly what our pain and agony feel like. God has been there. There is nowhere we go that God has not already been. And this is what grace is all about. That even when we beg for God's death rather than be vulnerable and admit our own failings, God chooses us. When we fashion a crown of thorns and we shout, "Hail, Caesar," and we treat each other horribly, and we ignore one another, and we don't think about one another's experiences, God chooses us. When we think way too highly of ourselves and others, God chooses us. When we think way too little about ourselves and others, God chooses us. God keeps on choosing even when we laugh at God and we doubt God's power. God keeps on choosing us even when we try to kill God so we don't have to deal with that grace and truth stuff anymore. God will keep on choosing us, friends, always. May we learn how to live in response to being chosen and marked by God's love. And may we learn how to let those words, "praise God," roll off our tongue just a little bit easier than those words, "Hail Caesar." May we learn how to be vulnerable and honest when we keep making mistakes. And may we all journey through this week marked by the incredible promise of God's grace and God's love and God's choice. Amen.